Hey, good morning, everyone. I have to thank Mrs. Gina Fridberg, whose wonderful daughter I taught. She sponsored this year in memory of her grandmother, Ayola Bat Aaron. So her grandmother's neshama should have an aliyah. Okay. I think everybody has a source sheet. Okay. So when the city of Shechem is mentioned in Tanakh, the Meforshim there very often feel the need to remind us of the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud Bet, Amud Aleph, and you have that in source one. Gemara says, Tana Mishum Rabbi Yossi, Chazal taught in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Makom Mizuman Lepuranut. Shechem is a place where bad things happen. In fact, when Avram first arrives in Canaan at the beginning of Parashat Lech Lecha, the first place he stops is in Shechem. And Rashi in source 2 tells us that this is Leitz Palel al B'nei Yaakov, because he wants to daven for Yaakov's sons, Kishayavou Lehilachem B'Shechem, who would come to Shechem to fight there, and that was to avenge the first of the terrible events that occur in Shechem, which we have in source 1, B'Shechem Inu et Dina. In Shechem, Dina was abused. The next event, and I don't like using the word that it really means. The next event listed in the Gemara is Bishchem Machru Echav et Yosef. In Shechem, Yosef's brothers sold him. And the third, Bishchem Nechleka Malchut Beit David. It's in Shechem that Malchut Beit David is split into two kingdoms in the time of Shlomo's son Rechavam. Instead of one kingdom for all of Yaakov's descendants, we have two. We become divided. We have Malchut Yisrael, which is the ten Shvatim who are originally led by Yeravam ben Nevat from Shevet Ephraim, and Malchut Yehuda, which is perpetuating the dynasty of David HaMalach. And as you know, that division is why we are known as the Jews, right? And we see in source 3, as far back as our original Galut, after the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, when Mordechai is introduced to us in the Megillah, he's called an Ish Yehudi, a man from Yehuda, and an Ish Yemini, he's a man from Binyamin. And Rashi, source 3, says, why, how can he be both from Yehuda and Binyamin? Al Shegala im Galut Yehuda. Because he's called Yehudi, because he was exiled with the kingdom of Yehuda. And kol otan shegalu im malcha Yehuda, hayu kruyim Yehudim bein hagoyim. Right? Anyone who was exiled with the kings of Yehuda, or Judah, was called a Yehudi, was called a Jew by the other nations, v'afilu mishevet acherheim. Right? Even if he was from a different shevet. So even though he's from Shevet Binyamin, to the rest of the world, Mordechai is one of those Jews, right? He's somebody from Malchut Yehuda. So I want to remind ourselves just about the beginning of this split in the Malchut and how it comes about. In the beginning of Malachim Aleph, in Perek Yud Aleph, the Navi tells us that Shlomo HaMelech served Avodah Zarah. And the Meforshim there debate whether that's literally true, whether it's not literally true, but regardless, the punishment that he gets is that he's going to lose the majority of his kingdom. And the original plan is for that majority to be given to Yeravam from Shevet Ephraim. And so in source 4 you have these psukim that have the message given to Yeravam by the Navi Achiah HaShiloni. Achiah tells Yeravam b'shem Hashem, Vilivno, to Shlomo's son, Etain Shevet Echad, I will give one Shevet, which, if you want to glance in Mitzudat Zavid in Source 5, you see it's not really one Shevet, it's Yehuda and Binyamin, but they share Yerushalayim, and Binyamin is ancillary to Yehuda, so he gets two Shvatim, but they're called one Shevet. So to Shlomo's son, I'll give one Shevet. And the reason that Hashem is not giving Yeravam all of Bnei Yisrael, Leman heyot nir leDavid avdi kol hayamim lefanai v'Yerushalayim ha'ir asher b'charti li lasum shemisham. Hashem wants there to always be a dynasty from David HaMelech in Yerushalayim. And then Hashem continues, Ve'otcha ekach, but I've chosen you, Yerubam. U'malachta b'chol asher ta'aveh nafshecha. You may rule wherever you want to, meaning choose your capital, like, you know, the country is your oyster. V'hayita malach al Yisrael, and you will be king over Yisrael. V'haya im tishma et kol asher atzavecha, v'halach levidrachai, v'asita hayashar be'inai lishmor chukotai u'mitzvotai k'asher asa David avdi. If you follow me, if you follow my ways like David did, then v'hayiti imach, I will be with you. U'vaniti lecha v'ayit ne'aman kasher baniti leDavid. I will establish your dynasty like I established David's. V'natati lecha Yisrael, I am giving Yisrael to you. Va'ana et zera David lema'an zot, and I will punish David's descendants for Shlomo's sin. Really important. Ach lo chol hayamim, but not forever. But not forever. So there's going to be this division, but it's not going to be forever. Why not? Mitzudat David in source 6. Ki b'yameim hamashiach tashuv kol hamlucha lezera David. Because ultimately, the entire kingdom will be unified under the kingdom of Mashiach ben David. And so armed with this knowledge that he is going to be king, he's getting a malchut. Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Psukim, Chav Vav, and Chav Zayin tell us in Surah 7, Vayarem Yad Bamelech, Yeravam comes and he challenged Shlomo. Why? Because Shlomo bana et hamilo, sagar et teretz ir David aviv, which I'm going to explain with Rashi in Source 8, Shlomo built up the Milo. And Rashi, again, Source 8 says that the Milo was a space that David had left open for the people who would be Ole Regel so that they could come. They would have a place to stay. They would have a place to go. So they're coming for the Shalosh Regalim, and it's really for the people. And Yerubam says to Shlomo, V'yata gadarta ota la'asot angaria levat paro. He says, your father left this for the people. How could you close it up to create a place for your wife's servants to live? So Shlomo doesn't like that challenge. He wants to kill Yerubam. Yerubam runs away. But ultimately, in the time of Shlomo's son Rehoboam, he comes back and he assumes his kingdom. And this challenge of Shlomo by Yerubam is reminiscent, really, of Yehuda's confrontation of Yosef at the beginning of Parshat Vayigash. Only the roles there are reversed, because Yosef there is the man in power and Yehuda is the challenger. But the premise is the same, right? You're questioning the ethics of a monarch who's causing suffering to others for your own personal gain. So we see that this battle for Malchut between Yehuda and Yosef doesn't begin with Shlomo and Yerubam. It really starts hundreds of years earlier with their ancestors, with the Shvatim themselves. And we all know the story of Yosef's dreams, pretty famous, and you were just reminded of it in the last few weeks. When Yosef tells his brothers about his first dream, where his brothers' 11 sheaves bow to his, the response of the Shvatim, source 9, is, Vayomru lo echav, his brother said to him, Hameloch timloch aleinu, will you be king over us? Im mashol timshol banu, will you rule over us? Kliyakar in Source 8 really explains this response as follows. He says, Ki kol ha-chalomot holchim achar ha-peh. He says, dreams follow speech. What does that mean? Ritzono lomar. Mima sheha-adam midaber kodem sheyishan, mizeh ha-min valo ha-chalom. A person's dreams usually reflect what they're talking about before they go to sleep. Alkein chashvu, so the brothers thought, shemistama, probably, kodam hashena, haya Yosef midabero meharher belibo, ki hu ra'oi limlucha. Probably Yosef was talking or thinking about becoming king before he went to sleep. Alkein balo, zachalom, and that's why he was having this dream. And the brothers said, absolutely not, we're not going to accept that. And Ramban in Source 11 explains this, like, you know, this statement of hamaloch timloch aleinu imashol timshol banu. Ramban explains it to mean, no, lo tia aleinu le'olam, lo melech v'lo moshel. You are never going to be king or any authority over us. Like, we don't accept. And interestingly, the Malbim in Source 12 says that Yosef being sold down to Mitzrayim was intended to ensure that. According to Malbim, Yehuda tells his brothers, Ikar magamatenu sheyitrachek mibeit aviv lo yisterer aleinu. our main objective is to get Yosef far away from his father's house. Why? So that he won't rule over us. We can achieve that objective if we sell him. And by contrast, right, so nobody wants Yosef to be in charge, but by contrast, the brothers unconditionally accept Yehuda as being the ruler over them. When Yehuda says, sell Yosef, the pasuk says, Vayishmu Achav, right? His brothers listen to him. Right afterward, though, we have a problem. We have a pasuk in source 13. We see that Vayihi ba'et hahi, at that time, Vayered Yehuda me'et Achav. Yehuda left his brothers. Vayet ad ish adulami ushmo Chira. And he went to the home of a man named Chira in a place called Adulam. And Rashi in source 14, he's fascinated by two things here. First of all, this interruption of Yosef's story with the story of Yehuda and Tamar. But he's fascinated also here by the wording. The pasuk says, Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda went down from his brothers. It could have just said, Vayelach, he went, but it says he went down from his brothers. And so Rashi explains this by saying that the Vayered actually shows a demotion in rank for Yehuda by the other Shvatim. Right, so if you start with the bolded words in that Rashi, Shehoriduhu echav migdulato kishera'u v'tzarat avihem. When the brothers saw their father suffering, they demoted Yehuda from his high position among them. Amru, they said, Ata amarta limachro, you told us to sell him. Ilu amarta lahashivo hayinu shom'im lecha. Had you told us to bring him back, we would have listened to you. And so then what follows is a story of redemption, first for Yehuda, and then after that for Yosef, to once again become leaders, and they do. But what's interesting to me is that Yehuda and Yosef are the two Shvatim who continue to be the leaders of Bnei Yisrael in both division and unity. As we saw, when it's time for the kingdom to be split, the kings come from their two Shvatim. The kingdoms are each ultimately exiled from Israel as separate entities. But then, I'm sure you know this, when it's time for us to be brought back, Yehuda and Yosef are actually the ones leading it. And source 15 comes from a sefer, it's called Kol HaTor. It's a sefer about Geula, and it's based on the teachings of the Vilna Gaon. It was written by a student, Rabbi Hillel Rivlin. And so this specific piece is discussing a question regarding the parak of Shir HaMalot that we read before benching, right, the parak from Tehillim, that we read before benching, and talks about Geula. And in that parak, the verb bo, which means to come, is repeated, right? The pasuk says, bo yavo, he will come. So the Vilna Gaon explains the repetition like this. He says, ne'emar al shnei ha-mashichin. The repetition refers to the two mashiachs. Tchila bo, hainu mashiach harishon mashiach ben Yosef. The first bo refers to the coming of the first mashiach, mashiach ben Yosef. V'acharav yavo, hu mashiach acharon mashiach ben David, and then yavo, and then he will come. So he will come, and then he will come. Right. So the second one refers to the final mashiach, mashiach ben David, and the haftarah from Parshat Vayigash is a gorgeous description of how the kingdoms of Yehuda and Yosef, which were separate, come together in the Geula. The Haftarah comes from Yechezkel, Perek Lamed Zayin, Psukim Tet Vav through Chavchet. You have that in source 16. Yechezkel is told, Kach lecha eitz echad, take a branch, uchtov alav, and write on that branch, Li Yehuda v'livnei Yisrael chaveirav, for Yehuda and those of Bnei Yisrael who accompany him. Ulekach eitz echad, and then take another branch, Uchtov alav li Yosef et Ephraim v'chol beit Yisrael chaveirav, and then right on that one for Yosef the branch of Ephraim and all of beit Yisrael who are associated with him. V'karav otam echad el echav echad lecha le'et echad. Then bring those two branches close to each other, and they will become one branch. V'hayu l'achadim biyadecha, and they will be united in your hand. And then Hashem promises, Psukim Chaf Aleph and Chaf Bet, Hine, anochi lokeach et b'nei Yisrael mi bein hagoyim asher halachu sham. I'm taking b'nei Yisrael from the nations to which they went. V'kibatzti otam misaviv. And I will gather them from all around. V'heveti otam elad matam. I will bring them to their land. V'asiti otam legoy echad ba'aretz b'harei Yisrael. I will make them into one nation in the land, in the mountains of Yisrael. U'melech echad yiyeh l'chulam l'melech. There will be one king for all of them. Below you, od lishne goyim. They will never again be two nations. Below yechatsu, od lishte mamlachot od. And they will never again be divided into two kingdoms. Jumping to chaf hey, sorry. V'yashvu al ha'aretz. I hate to cut out from the psukim because they're so gorgeous, but just for time, I'm going to jump a little ahead. Chaf hey, v'yashvu al ha'aretz asher natati la'avdi li'Yakov. They will live in the land that I gave to Yaakov, asher yashvu va'avotechem, which your ancestors lived in. V'yashvu aleha hema uvnehem uvnei v'nehem ad olam. They and their children and their grandchildren will live there forever. V'David avdi nasi lahem olam. My servant David, meaning a king from the Davidic dynasty, not David himself, will always rule over them. Pasuk chav zayin v'haya mishkani aleihem. My shechina will be upon them. V'hayiti lahem le'elohim. I will be their God. V'hema yiyu li la'am. And they will be my nation. So when Hashem gathers all of B'nai Yisrael from Galut, we will no longer be divided into two kingdoms, and instead will be united together as one nation, unified under Malchut Beit David to serve Hashem. But there's more to it than that, because we have to talk about the Yosef piece, right? Malbim on these psukim says that when Yechezkel brings the sticks together, they miraculously fuse into one. And in sources 17 through 19, you're going to find a condensed version of this Malbim on some of these psukim in which he describes all of B'nai Yisrael coming together under each Mashiach. First under Mashiach ben Yosef, and then under Mashiach ben David. So I want to look at that with you. Source 15. Mikabalat Chazal shetchila ya'amod Mashiach ben Yosef. Chazal explained that first will come Mashiach ben Yosef, v'hu melech me'aseret hashvatim. Mashiach ben Yosef is a king who will be from the 10 Shvatim, not from Yehuda. V'hu yilachei milchamot. He will fight wars. V'yitasfu chol Yisrael tachat diglo. All of B'nai Yisrael will gather under his flag. Ad she'achar kach yavo ben David v'hu yimloch aleihem. And then, after that, will come Mashiach ben David, and he will be king over all of them. V'haya ha-mashal ha-rishon t'chila al hitachdu Yisrael tachat dagal Mashiach ben David. So this metaphor of Yechezkel first describes the unity of Yisrael under the flag of Mashiach ben Yosef. But how does that start? V'tziva sheyikach etz echad v'yichtov liYehuda v'livnei Yisrael chaveirav. Yechezkel's first commanded to take a stick and write for Yehuda and those of B'nai Yisrael who are associated with him. So how can it be Mashiach ben Yosef first? Because that's not what this is talking about. Ki tchila hitchabru Yehuda uvinyamin shagalu bebayit rishon v'hitkabtu tachat zrubav al bimei koresh v'na'asu goyechad bimei bayit sheni. Yehuda and Binyamin are exiled together after the first Churban Bayit, and they're going to be the first to gather again as a nation and return to Eretz Yisrael for the second Beit HaMikdash. Right? The Galut of Yosef hasn't come back yet. So when they come back, af achar Churban HaBayit shenid pazru, even after that second Beit HaMikdash is destroyed and the people are scattered, b'chol zot hem me'uchadim b'chlal. They still remain united with each other. Umiyachalim al hageula, and they yearn for geula. Uvacharit hayamim, and in the end, when it's time for the final Mashiach to come, yitkabzu aseret hashvatim haovdim v'hanidachim. The 10 shvatim who've been lost will come together. Tachat degel Yosef, under the banner of Mashiach ben Yosef. Tachat degel Yosef shehu Mashiach ben Yosef. Asher ye'esov hanidachim, and he will gather the dispersed. Shezeh haya mashal ha'etz hasheni, and this is the metaphor of the second stick. V'achar kach, yit'achdu gam b'nei Yehuda hanikbatzim kvar, those from Yehuda and Binyamin who are already together with each other, will also join Liot Tachat Shivto Memshalto, under the rule of Mashiach ben Yosef. V'yitavu l'goy echad al pi nisei Hashem v'niflotav. And they'll become one nation through the miracles of Hashem. Okay, so not to flip to it now. I did include in source 20 for you, there's this beautiful Malbim on Sefer Micha from which we learn that there's going to be a government in Israel before the return of Malchut Beit David. There's a lot to talk about with it. But because our rabbis, and this is why I include it for you, because our rabbis refer to the modern state of Israel as Reshit Tzmichat Geulatenu, that it is the beginning of our Geula, I would argue that it's possible we've come to the scenario that Malbim describes in his combined Perushim on Yechezkel and Micha. We have Jews returning to Israel from all over the world who are united under one flag of Medina Israel, and we have been able to defend and keep this land through many wars under the leadership of a government with a military, and through victories which can only be described as miraculous when the countries around us tried to destroy us. And then continuing in the Malbim on Yechezkel, sources 18 and 19, Tzivalo od shegam acharkach ha'etzim asher tichtov aleihem yisharu od biyadcha le'enehem shelo ya'azve miyado. Hashem tells Yechezkel that he has to keep holding on to the sticks. V'lo yimchok haktav. He shouldn't erase what's written. Rak sheyu ha'etzim sheyichtov aleihem. He should keep the writing on both branches. Ki od zarich la'asot bam davar, because Yechezkel will have to use them for one more thing, and we're going to see he's going to have to repeat this fusion of the sticks, but he's going to have to do it in the opposite way. V'hu mashal al she'achar kach yitchabru she'nit. This shows that after coming together under Mashiach ben Yosef, Bnei Yisrael will come together again, tachat degel Malchut Beit David. But this time it's going to be under the banner of Malchut Beit David. Shebazet nishar hachtav mitzad zeh. And that's why the writing regarding Yehuda remains on the other side and it's not erased. Because remember, the first time the two sticks merge to become one, they're under, right, you have two sticks, and the first one says for Mashiach, or for Yosef, for Malchut Yosef, and so the stick of Yehuda has to fuse to it, and now it's the opposite. You have the stick of Yehuda, and the staff of Yosef has to merge with it. Sheyitapech, the situation is going to happen the other way. Sheyitkarvu aseret hashvatim ve'etz Yosef al etz Yehuda, the ten shvatim, and the stick of Yosef will come to the stick of Yehuda. V'ze gamkein al yad hanavi ubenes, and this is also going to happen miraculously. And finally, Malbim explains that throughout their time in the land, both the ten shvatim and Yehuda did many sins. And then, during Galut Edom, which is our current Galut, because we live among other nations, we are influenced by them. Al zeh amar, so Hashem says here, v'hoshati otam mikol moshvotehem, I will save them from all of the places they live, asher chat'u bahem, in which they sinned. V'achar kach v'tiharti otam, and then I will make them tahor, ad sheyu li la'am v'ani eyeh lahem l'elohim, such that they will be my nation, and I will be their God. Lihitznaheg b'hashkacha nisiyit. And I will act with them with a miraculous hashkacha. Hashem's hashkacha over us becomes miraculous in nature. Ve'az ve'avdi David melech aleihem. Ve'az yashuv hamlucha leveit David. It will be at that point that the kingdom will return to be led by Beit David. Bein mitzad hanhagat hamalchut v'chein mitzad hanhagat hadat. Both in terms of government as well as religion. Amar, v'ro'e echad yalchulam, ki chulam b'mishpatai yalchu, v'lo yiyech hiluk b'neihem b'inyan hadat. They will be united under one ruler, because they will no longer be divided religiously. V'al yedeichein, and through this unity, v'yeshvu al ha'aretz, yeshvu b'yeshivat keva. They will live permanently in the land. Malbim continues to explain why the land is referred to here as the land that's given to Yaakov specifically rather than to all of the Avot. And it's because when Yaakov left Eretz Yisrael, when he's running away from Esav and he has to go to Galut in Laban's house, Yaakov has a dream in which Hashem promised that he would return. And in that dream, Yaakov is shown a miracle of all of the stones under his head uniting to become one stone. Just like Yechezkel's two sticks here unite to become one stick. These are both signs of the unity of Bnei Yisrael to become one nation in the end, right before Mashiach. And then they will inherit their land without oppressors. And I think that that is an amazing, beautiful, powerful message, that in order to live freely in our land without oppressors, Hashem just wants us to come together. And my brother Mark said that intrinsically, we know this because the message from Yechezkel became the rallying cry of the Israelis and of Jews all over the world since October 7th. Because what do we say? We say, Biyachad Ninatzeach, right? When we're together, we're going to win. And the Malbim talks about not being divided religiously. And I think that that's what we're seeing now. Right before the attacks, Jews in Israel were in this terrible place where religious and non-religious Jews were pitted against each other. And my brother Stephen, who lives in Efrat, said that they were talking about this fighting over Sukkot. Sorry, I brought my tissues. And my nephew, Amichai, said, and fortunately it was prophetic, he said, you know, it just takes one war. He's been in Gaza since it started. Source 21. We bring tissues and we bring drinks. Source 21 has psukim from Vayikra, and you're definitely familiar with those, especially if you just were in my son's shir. He quoted this first one. The pasuk says, "Lo tisnat achicha b'levecha," do not hate your brother in your heart. "Hocheach tochiach et amitecha," tell your fellow man what he's doing wrong. "V'lo tisa alav chait," and do not carry sin because of him. I would argue that one way we can connect the start of the pasuk to the end is that if you do hate someone, you're definitely not the right person to be telling them that they're doing something wrong. And just because you think somebody's doing something wrong doesn't give you a reason to hate them, right? And the end of the pasuk, either of those behaviors is sinful. And the following pasuk ends with that famous mitzvah, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? You have to love your fellow person as you love yourself. Even Ezra in Source 22 explains that the reason the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha immediately follows lo tisna is because they're the same mitzvah, but they're written in opposite ways. Right, the first is written as a mitzvah lo tase, it tells us what we're not supposed to do, and the second is a mitzvah say, it tells us what we are supposed to do. So the Ibn Ezra writes, lo tisna tachicha hefach v'ahavta l'reacha. Lo tisna is the inverse of v'ahavta l'reacha. V'hine ela hamitzvot kulam netuot b'lev. These mitzvot are mitzvot that are planted in our hearts. These are mitzvot that we do with our hearts and with our feelings. Uvihishamram yeshvu ba'aretz. When we keep them, we'll be able to settle in the land. And what's his proof? Ki al sinat chinam charav bayit sheni. Because as we know, the second Beit HaMikdash was destroyed due to baseless hatred of each other. In his explanation of Yahavta l'reacha kamocha, the Ramban has this beautiful line. He says, V'lo yitain sheyurin ba'ahava. We can't place limitations or conditions on our love for each other. And as Amichai foretold, I think we're learning this lesson the hard way. Last Saturday night, someone sent me this beautiful video of the residents of Bnei Brak gathered by the kever of the Chazon Ish to daven for the hostages. And it was so beautiful. And it's the way that we respond to tragedy, right? Before she went to Achashverosh, Esther tells Mordechai, Lech kinos et Kol HaYehudim, right? Go and gather all of the Jews to fast and to daven on my behalf so that my mission to save them should be successful. all of the Jews coming together is the most powerful weapon that we have to protect our land and our people. This is another, I've got my tissues. The following was written by the father of a soldier who was killed last week, and the soldier's birthday was on Thursday. I'm going to read to you the English translation of it. I'm going to try. The father wrote like this. He wrote, "Today is Thursday, the 23rd of Tevet. Happy birthday to you, my son, Yonatan." It's your 25th birthday, but without you. If you were alive, we would have turned the world upside down to send you gifts in Gaza. Now that no cake or celebration touches you, we ask from Am Yisrael gifts fitting for a soul like yours, a day of goodness and love without hatred. You could buy a small gift for your partner or parents. You can write a supportive post about people you don't like. You can refrain from posting aggressive and militant content, avoid gossip and malicious talk about others, or simply smile at people on the street and cheer them up. With these small gifts you send to Yonatan up above, he will dance and we will find solace. I want to end by reading something. My friend Gila, she's a teacher in Israel, she wrote this a couple of weeks ago. She said, "I celebrated my birthday 2 days ago, and it was so strange, so polarized. On the one hand, I feel so broken. Usually, I feel empowered giving brachot on my birthday, and this time, I felt so helpless. On the other hand, I had a pinch-me moment when I got to look around the table and see generations of family who are Torah Yidden. Such a miracle, especially since our grandparents were the only ones who survived the Holocaust from their families. I grew up in a tiny family, and to see it grow, and in Jerusalem no less, was nothing short of miraculous. I guess this is another lesson from Vayichi, which was my bat mitzvah parsha. Even on the eve of bitter galut, Yaakov Avinu still had koach habracha because the family was finally all together. As long as we stick together, the brachot can come true, even if it takes some time." And then she ends by writing, "Wishing all of us to find new wellsprings of strength within, even as we feel run down from the world's attempts to break us. May we laugh like Rabbi Akiva at the foxes on the Temple Mount, knowing that if the sad times are here, the good ones are just around the corner." I know, she's pretty brilliant. May the hostages be returned home, their chayalim be safe and successful, and may we be zochim to experience Yeshua and Geula b'mehira. Thank you. Amen.